welcome to Grim Pickens, a podcast where I read a story by the Brothers Grimm for the first time and say whatever else comes to mind while I'm doing it. Now, I'm not a historian or a literary expert by any means, but I do teach writing to college students. This week, we're hitting the Hunt translations, which originated in 1884. Margaret Raine Hunt kind of holds the gold standard for English translations, but language does change over time, so we'll be exploring some other additions as the show goes on. Maggie Hunt, which is what I would call her if we were neighbors, was 53 when the translation was published under the name Household Tales by the Brothers Grimm. She was the mother of Violet and Venetia Hunt, who were in their 20s when the book was published, so I can only assume that she told some of these very tales to the girls. Some get gruesome, so maybe she didn't, but not the one that we're covering today. The Frog King, or Iron Henry. In old times, when wishing still helped one, which is honestly a great substitution for once upon a time, in old times when wishing still helped one, there lived a king whose daughters were all beautiful, but the youngest was so beautiful that the sun itself, which had seen so much, was astonished whenever it shone on her face. Close by the king's castle lay a great dark forest, and under an old lime tree in the forest was a well. And when the days were very warm, the king's children went out into the forest and sat down by the side of the cool fountain. And when she was dull, she took a golden ball and threw it up on high and caught it. And this ball was her favorite plaything. It's a very practical game to play, though not by a well. Now, it so happened that on one occasion, the princess's golden ball did not fall into the little hand which she was holding open for it, but on the ground beyond, and rolled straight into the water. The king's daughter followed it with her eyes, but it vanished, and the well was deep, so deep that the bottom could not be seen. On this, she began to cry, and cried louder and louder, and could not be comforted. And as she thus lamented, someone said to her, "What ails thee, king's daughter? Thou weepest so that even a stone would show pity." That's a lot of weeping. She looked round to the side from whence the voice came, and saw a frog stretching forth its thick, ugly head from the water. "Ah, old water splasher, is it thou?" she said. Okay, yeah. I mean, I can't argue. A frog could be a water splasher. "I am weeping for my golden ball, which has fallen into the well." "Be quiet and do not weep," answered the frog. "I can help thee. But what wilt thou give me if I bring thy plaything up again?" "Whatever thou wilt have, dear frog," said she, "my clothes, my pearls and jewels, and even the golden crown which I am wearing." The frog answered, unsurprisingly, "I do not care for thy clothes, thy pearls and jewels, or thy golden crown. But if thou wilt love me, and let me be thy companion and playfellow, and sit by thee at thy little table, and eat off thy little golden plate, and drink out of thy little cup, and sleep in thy little bed. If thou wilt promise me this, I will go down below and bring thee thy golden ball up again." Now we have to understand, this is a child. She's not thinking rationally. "Oh yes," said she, "I told you. I promise thee all thou wishest, if thou wilt but bring me my ball back again." She, however, thought, "How the silly frog does talk! He lives in the water with the other frogs and croaks, and can be no companion of any human being." But the frog, when he had received this very promise, put his head into the water and sank down, and in a short while came swimming up again with the ball in his mouth, and threw it on the grass. The king's daughter was delighted to see her pretty plaything once more, and picked it up and ran away with it. "Wait, wait," said the frog, "take me with thee. I can't run as thou canst." But what did it avail him to scream his croak, croak after her as loudly as he could? She did not listen, but ran home and soon forgot the poor frog, who was forced to go back into his well again. The next day, when she seated herself at table with the king and all the courtiers, and was eating from her little golden plate, something came creeping, splish, splash, splish, splash, up the marble staircase, and when it had got to the top, it knocked on the door and cried, "Princess, youngest princess, open the door for me." She ran to see who was outside, but when she opened the door, there sat a frog in front of it. And then she slammed the door to, in great haste, sit down to dinner again, and was quite frightened. The king saw plainly that her heart was beating violently and said, "My child, what art thou so afraid of? Is there perchance a giant outside who wants to carry thee away?" "Ah, no," replied she. "It is no giant, but a disgusting frog." "Ouch. What does a frog want with thee?" "Ah, father, yesterday, as I was in the forest, sitting by the well, playing, my golden ball fell into the water, and because I cried so, the frog brought it out again for me. And because he so insisted, I promised him he should be my companion. But I never thought he would be able to come out of the water, and now he is outside there and wants to come in to me." In the meantime, it knocked a second time and cried, for some reason this next part is written like a poem. "Princess, young princess, open the door for me. Dost thou not know what thou saidst to me yesterday by the cool waters of the fountain? Princess, young princess, open the door for me." "Then," said the king, "that which thou hast promised must thou perform. Go and let him in." She went and opened the door, and the frog hopped in and followed her, step by step, to her chair. There he sat and cried, "Lift me up beside thee." She delayed until at last the king commanded her to do it. When the frog was once on the chair, he wanted to be on the table. And when he was on the table, he said, "Now push thy little golden plate nearer to me, so that we may eat together." She did this, but it was easy to see that she did not do it willingly. The frog enjoyed what he ate, but almost every mouthful she took choked her. At length he said, "I have eaten, and I am satisfied. Now I am tired. Carry me into thy little room, and make thy little silken bed ready, and we will both lie down and go to sleep." Sounds like a big day for the frog. The king's daughter began to cry, for she was afraid of the cold frog, which she did not like to touch, and which was now to sleep in her pretty, clean little bed. But the king grew angry and said, "He who helped thee when thou wert in trouble ought not afterwards to be despised by thee." So she took hold of the frog with two fingers, carried him upstairs, and put him in a corner. But when she was in her bed, he crept to her and said, "I'm tired, and I want to sleep, as well as thou. Lift me up, or I will tell thy father." Then she was terribly angry, and took him up and threw him with all of her might against the wall. It appears that the sun, earlier, was only judging her by her external beauty. "Now thou wilt be quiet, odious frog," she said. But when he fell down, he was no frog, but a king's son, with beautiful kind eyes. He, by her father's will, was now her dear companion and husband. Then he told her how he had been bewitched by a wicked witch, and how no one could have delivered him from the well but herself, and that tomorrow they would go together into his kingdom. Then they went to sleep, and next morning, when the sun awoke, a carriage came driving up with 8 white horses, which had white ostrich feathers on their heads, and were harnessed with golden chains, and behind stood the young king's servant, Faithful Henry. Faithful Henry had been so unhappy when his master was changed into a frog that he had caused 3 iron bands to be laid round his heart, lest it should burst with grief and sadness. That's hardcore. The carriage was to conduct the young king into his kingdom. Faithful Henry helped them both in and placed himself behind again, and was full of joy because of this deliverance. And when they had driven part of the way, the king's son heard a cracking behind him as if something had broken, so he turned around and cried, "Henry, the carriage is breaking." "No, master, it is not the carriage. It is a band from my heart, which was put there in my great pain when you were a frog and imprisoned in the well." Again and once again, while they were on their way, something cracked, and each time the king's son thought the carriage was breaking, but it was only the bands, which were springing from the heart of Faithful Henry because his master was set free and was happy. You tend to think of stories like this having a moral, and in this case, I guess it's to throw a frog against a wall because it might give you everything it wants? I guess it was a different time, and the young princess's consent to this whole thing didn't really matter very much. Which is unfortunate, but at least she gets to live a life of luxury. Referring back to the title, it's called The Frog King or Iron Henry. And Faithful Henry really does play a kind of small role towards the end there. But it is very affecting that one would band thy heart and then break those bands. I mean, it seems like it would be really painful to get the bands put around the heart, as he says, to my great pain. But also to have them burst around your heart, that might be just as painful. We also have some unanswered questions about what exactly was going on in the kingdom while this young king was turned into a frog in the woods. But these are considered household tales, and you might consider a child to be the target audience. And if you're trying to get your kid to go to sleep and you read this story, maybe it doesn't matter what happens at the end, because hopefully they're asleep by now. Thanks for sticking with me through that reading. By this point, it should be no surprise that the Hunt translation was from 1884. There's a lot of thous and dosts and things like that. So that's it for this episode of Grim Pickens. I hope you enjoyed the story, and hopefully you didn't mind me commenting along the way. Grim Pickens is hosted and produced by me, Pete Phillips. We have some musical flourishes by Gregor Quendel via Pixabay, and for now, a theme song made by AI. Grim Pickens is part of the Y'all Heard podcast family. You can rate and subscribe in your podcast player of choice to get more bite-sized stories by the Brothers Grimm.